Good morning, Secretary Vilsack. Thank you for taking time to talk with us today. Certainly, there is a lot to talk about. The Senate Farm Bill working its way through the beginning of the process. I'd like to know, though, if USDA is going to have its own Farm Bill priority recommendations, or do you see the Senate Farm Bill as reflecting your priorities?
Well, Julie, first of all, I'd say that our priority right now is to get the Food, Farm, and Jobs Bill through the process. There is great momentum in the rural areas, and I think the only thing that would prevent us from having another good year now and into the future is uncertainty. So we certainly appreciate the leadership of Senator Stabenow and Senator Roberts trying to work it through the committee and ultimately onto the floor and through the various amendment processes that are underway right now. We have been working with the Senate and the House Ag Committee, both Republicans and Democrats at USDA, to provide technical assistance to make sure that the bill is crafted in the best and most appropriate way. There are a lot of things about the bill that we really like. We're very excited about the end of direct payments and the replacement with what we think makes sense, a strong crop insurance program and a revenue protection effort. The conservation title is very strong. More flexibility, fewer programs gives us a chance to continue our landscape scale efforts. The research title still needs a little work, but we're excited about the prospects of being able to leverage ag research. We know that every dollar we invest in research has a $20 return on investment, and so it's important that we can continue to support ag research. Trade, obviously part of this, and a strong rural development component, as well as local and regional food systems, are all part of this proposal. So we are working hard to make sure this gets through the process and that we get it done in the Senate sometime in the next week or two. Then the House can start its work, and hopefully it gets its work done so that conference can take place and we get this thing resolved before September 30th.
Some have argued that crop insurance alone isn't enough to protect farmers in the really bad times.
It's not. I mean, crop insurance obviously does a great job of taking care of farmers and ranchers when there are problems with weather. But the reality is that we are no longer supplementing crop insurance with disaster programs. Those disaster programs expired last year. And so there is the need for additional support when natural disasters strike, and we certainly have them and will continue to have them. In addition, there's not much protection from crop insurance if prices precipitously drop, which can often occur with commodities. So it's important and necessary, given the input costs that farmers are now having to pay to put a crop in the ground, that we're sensitive to giving them the ability to stay in business even if they have a tough year.
Okay. And additional supports for rice and peanuts. I understand that a couple of senators, including Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, are working on that. Do you support that?
Well, we obviously understand and recognize that there are going to have to be compromises to get this bill through the process. It's fair to say that the peanut and rice farmers are not particularly happy with the current draft and are expecting some change. At the end of the day, you've got to get 60 votes in the Senate and 218 in the House. That's going to require compromise. We'll continue to work. We're concerned, obviously, that of the cost. The bottom line is that we're looking at reducing our commitment in this legislation from the 2008 Farm Bill. And the Senate version has it about $23 billion less. The House is talking about a much larger number. And we're deeply concerned, obviously, about where those reductions come from. When the House is proposing fairly draconian cuts to nutrition programs, it concerns us not just because of its impact on families who are receiving that support, but also on farm families, because 14 cents of every food dollar goes to a farm family. So when you are proposing reducing nutrition by $33 billion or $130 billion, as has been the case in discussions in the House, you're talking about billions of dollars of income that will not otherwise go into a farmer's pocket. And so we want to make sure that folks understand those nutrition programs are part of the safety net for farmers.
Secretary, would you comment on these amendments? A lot of them have been proposed, and they're trying to keep them germane to the subject matter of the Farm Bill. A couple of them yesterday, and one of them does relate to nutrition. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's important that as amendments are considered, that they are indeed related in some way, shape, or form to what this bill is about. Obviously, there have been questions about the sugar program, and that was given its fair hearing. There have some who suggested a block granting the SNAP program to states. It's obvious that that did not have much support in the Senate. And frankly, it's not a particularly good idea. This is a fairly well-run program. The error rate is less than 3.5%. It's a historic low. The fraud rate in that program is less than 1%, an historic low. And so we're going to continue to focus on administering this program as best we can, but block granting to the state would not be efficient, and I don't think it would not be an improvement, that's for sure.
Any of the other amendments you'd like to speak to that you would like to see or certainly don't want to see?
There are over 220 amendments that have been filed, and frankly, it's sort of good news and bad news. The good news is that when that many amendments are filed, it suggests that this is something that policymakers believe is actually going to happen. So little has happened in the Congress this year that when they see something actually moving that they believe has a chance of getting done, they look for their pet amendment to be attached to it. Some of these amendments have no relevance whatsoever to food, farmer jobs, and hopefully they'll sort that through and get it done in short order.
Senator Stabenow and Congressman Peterson, who's working closely with Frank Lucas, have all expressed continued optimism that it is going to get through. Would you say overall that you are optimistic that it will get through in time?
Yes, I'm hopeful. I really think there is, on the part of the leadership of the Ag Committees, a real dedication to getting this done, and they've worked well in a bipartisan way, and they frankly have, I think, provided a pretty good example for the way Congress ought to operate, and we're going to continue to work with them and support them in this effort. I think that the big stumbling block will be the size of the reductions and where the reductions are taken. Again, I think it's fair to say that the administration has very deep concerns about deep draconian cuts to nutrition programs, and we think that there are probably other places where if there has to be money saved, it's more appropriate. So that's one thing. I think, on the other hand, this is an important piece of legislation because it reinforces the new rural economy that's being created. Over the last 3 years, we've seen record farm income, record exports, record investment in conservation, record investments in expansion of local and regional food systems, and an expansion and a great interest in bio-based products and renewable energy. We want to continue that. Those are the four cornerstones of a new economy in rural America: production agriculture and exports, conservation and outdoor recreation, local and regional food systems, and the bio-based products that can be made from plants, animal waste, and crops. So it's a tremendous opportunity for us, and we're seeing unemployment go down. We're seeing farm incomes rise. We're seeing the value of farms and the net worth of folks in rural areas beginning to tick up. We want to continue that momentum. We want to build on it. We've started something. We just need to continue it.
All right, and that was reflected in the administration's recent rural report, correct?
It was, and I think what's also interesting is the impact that farm income has on other aspects of the economy. I mean, the report also recognized that during the last 3 years, we've seen record farm equipment shipments of over $30 billion. We've seen a record in manufactured food products of $710 billion and a near record in ag chemical shipments. So not only does this impact folks on the farm, but it also impacts manufacturing jobs that obviously we are interested in having in this country, and we want obviously more of them. With the free trade agreements, with the discussions, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, with efforts to get Russia into the WTO, they're all opportunities to expand on exports. With conservation, the title, with the flexibility that's in that conservation title, we can leverage additional private sector investment in conservation. We can expand outdoor recreational opportunities because there will be more wildlife and there will be cleaner streams and fields that folks will be able to hunt in, bike in, and hike in. At the same time, we're seeing a tremendous increase in organic production, a new area, a $31 billion industry, local and regional food systems, a significant and historic increase in farmers' markets in the last 3 years, and then we're producing a record amount of biofuel that gives consumers choice at the pump and actually results in them paying a little bit less for their gas than they would otherwise be paying. These are all good news points that I think need to be emphasized and further provide encouragement to Congress to get the food, farm, and jobs bill done.
Okay. What about broadband?
Well, you know, part of the strategy of rebuilding the rural economy is to make sure that as we're producing these products, we're able to market them not just to ourselves locally, but regionally and globally. To do that, you need telecommunications equipment that's up to date and up to speed, and that's why it's important to expand broadband access in rural areas. We have over 300 projects at USDA that we are currently working on, which will expand broadband to over 7 million people, 345,000 businesses, and 34,000 schools and hospitals and other anchor institutions. The president signed an executive order yesterday asking agencies to basically streamline the process by which broadband access could be could utilize federal lands and do it in a simpler, quicker way. You know, we're not waiting for Congress to give us the authority. We're using the existing authorities as best we can to expand this very important 21st century tool.
You said utilize federal lands. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you have to put wires or cable or fiber, and you've got to connect it from one community to another, it may intersect effectively federal lands. It may be through a national forest. It may be a Bureau of Land Management. It may be something else at the United States Defense Department facility where there are millions, thousands of acres that surround it, making it a little bit easier to utilize those areas. And we're doing the same thing with transmission. You can produce twice as much renewable energy, which is what we've done in the last 3 years, but if you can't if you don't have the transmission systems to get it to the communities that need it, it doesn't help as much. So it's important to make the process easy, simple, transparent, and quick. And we have obviously work to do on all those things, but the president is directing us to do as much as we can to get broadband instituted and implemented as far in as broad of area as possible.
Would you say this is a good time to be Secretary of Agriculture? And would you like to be Secretary for another 4 years?
Well, let me say I've got the greatest job in America, and I have told that to the president. I'm not sure that he agrees with me. I think he thinks he's got a pretty good job, but it is a great job. I love this job. You know, it's the president's prerogative, who has the honor and privilege of being in this position, and I certainly wouldn't want to preempt his decision-making, but it is a good time to be Secretary of Agriculture. It's always a good time to be the Secretary of Agriculture because you're working for people that are just the salt of the earth. These are people that understand hard work and responsibility and step up for their country every single day and do extraordinary things and allow us to have freedoms in this country that we just take for granted. Food security, affordable food, diversity of food makes us a stronger a nation from a national security perspective, and that's often not recognized.
Thank you, Secretary Vilsack.
You bet. Thank you.